Look out the window. It feels right to talk about the weather on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Midwest and Plains states have been the epicenter for extreme weather since January. We've had all-time records for cold, snow, flooding, lowest atmospheric pressure have been set. And now it's this powerful April storm. What is it like where you are right now? How have you prepared for this winter storm in April? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jake Beitlick is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Chanhassen, Minnesota. Jake, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we have some parts of Wisconsin with estimates of several inches of snow, even blizzard-like conditions. In Minnesota, other parts of the country already bore the brunt of this. So what parts of Wisconsin are we seeing the most activity and the most snow? How is this storm tracking?
Sure. It looks like western Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin are going to see the most snow from this storm.
And so what are you seeing with estimates on snowfall?
Right now, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, has had 10.5 inches so far with this storm, and they're expected to get a couple more as well. So that's one example of where they've had quite a bit of snow with this storm.
Yeah, that's quite a dump for April and more on the way. How is this storm moving? Is it slow? Is it fast? Where is it coming from?
Sure, good question. So it's moving pretty slowly. So it has a lot of energy with it and a lot of moisture. And usually these spring storm systems do have a lot of moisture with them. So even though it might not be snowing all the time, when you do get a wave or a band of snow, as we like to call it, it can come down at 1 to 2 inches per hour.
You know, I've noticed, too, that, my local weather has changed a lot in 24 hours. It seems like there have been updates upon updates to the forecasts on localized forecasting anyway. Has this been has this storm made adjustments, or has it been tracking just as you expected?
Sure. These spring systems pose a challenge in the fact that they bring in that warm air from the south. And a subtle change of 1 or 2 degrees can make the difference between getting a heavy snow or getting rain. And so with all the energy that these storms have, the track can change a little bit as well, too. It's not like your heart of winter, late January, early February storm where really all you have to worry about is snow. The fact that these can be rain or snow or somewhere in between makes them a challenge.
You're kind of on these edges, so to speak, between different types of precipitation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, the difference between an inch of rain or 10 inches or a foot of snow is a pretty big difference to a lot of people. So that's why we do try to keep the forecast updated. So as soon as we get new information or we see maybe a shift toward more snow or less snow, we try to get that out to the public as quick as we can.
We live in the Midwest. We know it's spring. Spring can mean many things. Does winter weather happen frequently in the month of April?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go back too far to have a really big snowstorm in memory. If you recall, April 13 to 15 of last year, the northern half of Wisconsin got a lot of snow, and some folks near Green Bay got 20 to 30 inches of snow from that storm. So they don't happen too often, but when they do, they usually pack a punch in the fact that they have a lot of moisture, a lot of energy, and areas can easily see a foot or more of snow.
You're over in Minnesota. You've had some May snowfalls that have been pretty extensive.
Yeah, you're right. We keep thinking that spring is right around the corner, and then this thing rolls through and our lawn goes from a tannish green to bright white. So. Yep.
We're talking with Jake Beitlick. He is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Chanhassen, Minnesota. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, what you're seeing outside your window at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about this winter storm and how it's tracking? What is it like where you are? Have you seen your forecast change a lot in the past 24 hours? Call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tim from Burdick County called in to say it looks like it could be nasty outside where he is today, very windy. What kind of winds can we expect across the Midwest?
Sure, it is definitely going to be windy. That's one of the main things about this storm that's making it so strong and having such an impact on the roads with the blowing snow. We have a really strong low pressure system, but it's all the way down by Lincoln, Nebraska. But the pressure is around 985 millibars, which is pretty low. It's a pretty strong storm. And when you have a low pressure system that strong, you're sucking in winds all the way from the Great Lakes. So we're looking at east-northeast winds of 25 to 35 miles an hour. Those will probably increase later on today. So that's going to lead to a lot of blowing and drifting for those folks that end up seeing snow in the northern part of the state.
Let's go to Dwayne now, joining us from Hayward, Wisconsin. Dwayne, hi.
Yeah, I'm about 6 miles north of Hayward. Haven't seen a flake here.
Haven't seen a flake in Hayward, which...
Yeah, I talked to a state trooper friend of mine down by Hudson, and he said they're getting hammered, so...
And, Dwayne, you know, Hayward usually has a good show when it comes to snow.
Yeah, but there's right here, not a flake. And I looked at the satellite picture and the radar, and we're probably going to miss all of it, except for maybe later this afternoon if that front moves north. But with the northeast wind, it might push us all south.
Jake, what gives there?
Sure. So there is a band of snow that's coming up, so I'll tell you to just be a little bit of patient. The snow's coming. It's a big storm system. It's been well advertised for a few days. And it's slowly moving up toward your direction. So I rest assured that you'll have some snow later on today. I can promise you that.
Well, we were just talking a moment ago about atmospheric pressure. We know there was that bomb cyclone that blasted the Midwest last month. What can you tell us about how a drop in air pressure is contributing to the storm?
Yeah, that was an incredible storm. I do want to make it clear that this storm will not be a repeat of that storm. That storm was historic, and the impacts were historic as well. This is more of your typical strong spring snowstorm, but nothing like that one. But the analogy I'll use is when you have a low-pressure system that is strengthening that fast, think of it as if you have air in your tire. If you have air in your tire and you put a hole where there's higher pressure and you put a hole in that tire, that air is going to rush outward as fast as it can. We can all relate to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you have a strong system like that that's really deepening, you have air rushing from the higher pressure, so the surrounding locations, toward that area of low pressure. And that's why with that storm in late February, we had winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour for most of the day on Sunday. And even though the snow was over, you still had blowing snow and blizzard conditions lasting well after the precipitation ended. So that was a pretty remarkable event in and of itself.
Well, Jake, as we wrap up here, how long can this snow stick around? Because the National Weather Service in Milwaukee has said the ground is no longer frozen. What kind of impact do we see there in terms of how long the snow stays?
Yep, it won't be around too long. Tomorrow we're going to have highs in the upper 30s to lower 40s, and it'll only warm up from there. So by the time we get to the early part of next week, we'll see highs in the 50s again. There's one more thing I wanted to mention if I have time.
You can go right ahead quickly.
Okay, and that is that Eau Claire has set its all-time record for winter snowfall. They came in with 10.5 inches from this storm. They're going to get a little bit more, and that brings them up to 97.9 inches on the year. So we'll see if they can reach 100.
Wow. Eau Claire, we're watching you. Jake, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Jake Beitlake is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Chanhazen, Minnesota. We've been talking about the storm bearing down on Wisconsin and the Midwest. Coming up, we'll talk about how to be prepared for emergencies now and then in the months to come. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about winter storm preparedness on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Winter Storm Wesley's effects are being felt across the upper Midwest. Blizzard warnings extend 700 miles in six states, some areas reporting whiteout conditions. Minnesota's governor said the National Guard is standing by to help stranded drivers. Were you prepared for this April blizzard? Are you faced with another weather-related school closure? How are you coping with Winter Storm Wesley? We're at 800-642-1234. Andrew Beckett is the Assistant Public Information Officer of Wisconsin Emergency Management. Andrew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, so with blizzard-like conditions expected around the state, Eau Claire seeing another huge dump of snow setting records, what can families be doing at this point to stay safe and be prepared?
Well, the number one thing we always encourage people to do is to make sure that their vehicle is ready for slippery conditions in the event they do need to travel in this type of weather. You know, make sure you have an emergency kit in your vehicle. That can include things like a shovel, extra warm blankets, some snacks just in case you get stuck somewhere, and a cell phone charger as well so that you can reliably call for help in the event that you get stuck. In addition to that, we want people to pay close attention to what road conditions are looking like right now because they may not know what's ahead on the road for them. The state's 511 website, 511wi.gov, includes pretty much real-time information on what major routes around the state look like right now. So if people are going to be traveling through areas where they know there's been snow on the ground, make sure they're looking ahead and seeing what's going on right now. I can tell you that the Eau Claire area, especially in that corner of the state, is seeing some very dangerous road conditions right now. The 511 currently lists travel not advised across most of the major routes in that area. So if anybody's heading up to that region today or is traveling in that region already, they should pay attention and maybe consider changing their plans if possible.
And there's certainly an issue we heard about. Blowing and drifting snow can really impact drivers as well.
Right. Really, it's a combination of slippery conditions in the road, both from the snow falling, but as well as the high winds that can cause blowing and drifting snow and reduce visibility. Those kind of blizzard-like conditions that can make it difficult to see just what's ahead on the road. You may not be able to see an accident that is just coming up right around the bend.
Well, it's Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week. What does that mean for Wisconsin?
Well, Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week is an opportunity to really get people to kind of think about what they should be doing in order to make sure that their family is ready for the potential of severe weather. You know, Wisconsin sees many thunderstorms and a number of tornadoes throughout the course of the year, and we want people to take this time this week to think about what their plan is. Know the safe places in your home, at your workplace, and your children as well, what they should be doing at school, so that you can have a time to practice that, make sure that you know what to do, and make sure that everybody around you knows what they should be doing in the event that a tornado warning were to be issued and you need to seek shelter quickly.
And so with the current weather we're facing, Wisconsin and Minnesota chose to cancel today's scheduled tornado drill. And we know that Wisconsin has selected tomorrow as a makeup date. What do we know about tornado drills and the importance of that?
Sure. A tornado drill is a great opportunity to practice your plan without necessarily having the stress of a real-world situation. So really, we do this statewide drill every year in order to make sure that many of the TV and radio stations across the state, many schools across the state, and local governments across the state have the systems in place ready to go to alert the public to an actual threat, and people do know where they need to take shelter. So with the statewide drill, we have postponed it till tomorrow because there was concern about the threat of severe weather in southern Wisconsin today, possible thunderstorms and tornadoes. We weren't going to reschedule because of the snow, because our policy is to usually follow the potential for when sirens may actually be activated, and those usually are only activated if there's a threat of a tornado. So the decision was made to postpone it till tomorrow. We will follow the same schedule with a mock watch issued at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then mock warnings at 1:45, and then again at 6:45.
How important is it to test the sirens?
Well, for local governments, I mean, they test sirens frequently themselves, that once a month, that first Wednesday at noon for a lot of people. Making sure that sirens are working is important, but sirens are not the only system that alert people to danger. Many people, if you're in, sirens are designed for people to hear them while they're outside. If you're inside a building, you may not hear a siren. So we want to make sure that other systems that are in place in order to alert people are working as well. That can include NOAA weather radios, a great device that everybody should have in their home, as well as the alerts that are sent out over TV and radio stations in the event of a real emergency, so that people have as many ways to know as possible. I mean, really, you should never rely on a single source for your information about severe weather threats. You should have multiple systems in place in order to make sure that you get that alert when it is sent out, because really, seconds can matter when you're dealing with a tornado.
We're talking with Andrew Beckett. He is Assistant Public Information Officer at the Wisconsin Emergency Management. You can join in with your questions and your experiences in emergency preparedness at 800-642-1234. Do you have an emergency kit in your vehicle? How have you, looked at your cabinets in the kitchen differently in terms of stocking up for the pantry? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Andrew, what is the difference between a mock tornado watch and a mock tornado warning?
Sure. A mock tornado watch really just kind of sends out the information that, you know, what would be the situation in a real watch. The fact that there is the potential for severe weather in your area, be aware. Keep an eye on the forecast. Keep an eye on local sources of information. Whereas a mock warning is when we actually trigger the alerts that make people aware that there would be a severe weather threat. So that would be the situation where NOAA weather radios would sound. Local governments could choose to fire their sirens in order to participate in the drill. And TV and radio stations will either break into programming or have the ticker go across the bottom that indicates that there's a test warning going on.
So in the event that a tornado is in your area, in your neighborhood, in your community, what do you do, first of all, if you're at home?
Well, if you're at home, you want to make sure you get to a pre-designated area that you know is a safe space. I mean, that could include an interior part of your basement away from windows. If you don't have a basement, an interior room of your house on the first floor, such as a bathroom. The idea is that you want to get away from anywhere that debris may fly through your home so that you can be as safe as possible. If you're outside, you want to get inside right away. Seek shelter in a structurally sound, safe building.
And if you're in a car?
If you're in a car, ideally you could get to a shelter as quickly as possible. That's not always going to be possible, but if there is a building nearby that you can pull over and get into, that would be the best thing that somebody could do. You do not want to park under an underpass or an overpass if you're driving on the roadways. You don't want to go sit under a tree either. Being in your vehicle is not the safest place, but the main way people are injured in a storm is by flying debris. So if absolutely necessary, one potential thing you can do is get low in a vehicle so that you are safe from flying debris.
Let's go to Paul now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, listen, I'm the editor of the Central Hillsborough Century Enterprise, and I just shared with my readership something that dawned on me one day when I was driving back to my home in Oxford, Wisconsin, from Hillsborough, and during some of those snowstorms. And you see, all too often, you see people have their cell phones on, dash holders, you know, so they can talk hands-free or whatever. But what I thought was, from now on, I told myself, I'm going to put my cell phone when I'm not, out in the country or whatever during inclement weather, or just at any time, in my pocket or secured somewhere in my jacket, something like someplace like that. Because if you get in an accident, whether it be a deer crash or sliding off the road, if people can't see you when your car goes off, and you have your camera on your phone on your dash, it might get thrown or tossed where you're pinned and you can't have access to your phone to call for help. That way, you have a better chance of having access to your phone to call emergency services.
Paul, thank you for the call on that. What about that tip, Andrew?
I mean, having access to your cell phone in the event of a crash is extremely important. You know, in crash physics would tell you that it is easy for objects to be thrown from a vehicle in the event that you do have a crash. So, I mean, that is definitely sound advice and something that many people can consider.
As we start to wrap up here, what does a family emergency communication plan look like?
Sure. A family communication plan is basically having an identified chain of communication so that you know in the event that an emergency situation were to develop, everybody knows who to get in touch with, making sure that, you know, children know phone numbers, the important phone numbers to call. And it's also about not just necessarily having some people within your family knowing ways to get in touch, but also somebody who's outside of the area, so that in the event that local communications are down and it's difficult to get in touch with people locally, everybody knows a designated person outside of your area to get in touch with, so that everybody can check in and make sure that they know that everybody's safe.
Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Happy to do so.
Andrew Beckett is the Assistant Public Information Officer of Wisconsin Emergency Management. Coming up, we'll get analysis on the latest Marquette University Law School poll and what it says about where Wisconsin voters are at on national and statewide issues. It's the Marquette poll coming up after a news update here on the Ideas Network.